Angel 95, good morning, and we have another great course score interview today. Mark Queen's with me, and he has a special guest on the phone. Mark, who do we have?
Thank you, Jerry. We have John Ferjanik today, and I'm excited to hear John's story, but we need to do a little setup for our audience today because John is in an industry that has a regulation to protect the public, so we're going to make sure to honor his compliance issues. We're not here to promote his services and what he does. We're in no way here to make any recommendations. We're not here to represent any of the regulators or the companies that are regulated in his industry. We're here to talk to John today about how his faith has intersected his entrepreneurial journey. So, John, with that, let's get right to it. So, welcome. We're glad you're here today.
Mark, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's always intriguing to talk to people that are entrepreneurs that are in the constant battle of how we serve Jesus Christ and how our faith intersects our business. So I think our first question today is just to kind of allow you the mic, if you will, and talk to us a little bit about your faith journey and how it developed from your childhood to adolescence and into your adulthood.
Oh, wow. That's a long story, but I'll try to get to the point. I can say that my faith really began before I was born. My mother and father had 10 children, my mother was faced with, a choice that a lot of mothers do. Should we have another one or should we not? I mean, they took their, idea of procreation very seriously. My mother and father did. And so it was late 1969 and my mother told me a story about how she went to the priest and she was contemplating using contraception and under advice from the priest and from her sisters and her sister-in-law, and I'm sure my father, they decided that they would have another baby, and that was me, John Ferjanik, and my name is my dad gave me John Francis Thomas Aquinas Ulysses of Apollo 11, and so there's a story behind that, but that's the origin of my faith story, and it dates, I'm sure, before my parents because they were given their faith by their forefathers. My grandmothers and grandfathers had faith as well.
Holy cow. So, Jerry, I think we could do another whole podcast
about his name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell me about Apollo 11. Were you born when that happened, or what?
Yeah, I was born July 20th, 1969, the day the Apollo 11 landed on the moon.
Wow.
And my father had 10 children prior, and he figured he'd give me a special name. Maybe he knew I was the last.
Oh, my. He certainly did. So I'm going to throw out a challenge to anybody in our podcast audience that if you've got more names than John Ferjanik, then we want to hear from you. So reach out to us on the Course Score website, and we are going to want to hear from you. So,
yeah, there's seven of them.
Wow.
That's tremendous.
Well, it sounds like an interesting life for you. You started with faith, and then talk to us about your journey as you began to work in our society, and you might have been an employee before you were an entrepreneur, but talk to us about how your faith has been intersecting your work life and your early years.
Yeah, for sure. So after going to Catholic grammar school, and I went to Catholic high school, all-male Catholic high school called Mount Carmel High School on the south side of Chicago, I started to meet people. And one of the people that I met was Father Dave Dillon. God rest his soul. He just passed about 4 months ago. And he was really a mentor to me without the title being mentor. And he helped guide me to go to Yale because I wasn't sure that Yale was the place for me. I wanted to go to the best school possible and play football. And you can imagine that with 11 children, my parents had a concern about finances and them being able to afford to send me to school there. So Father Dillon was instrumental in, first of all, kind of guiding me to a place that he felt would be really good for me to grow into the person I am today. And he also introduced me to some folks. So when I came out of college, he set up a couple interviews for me. And some were some pretty influential people. And So that's kind of how it started. I had, you know, people in my life that were put there because, you know, I went to a great school, which is a faith-filled institution, and they, you know, got me in touch with other people who, you know, who were good, you know, kind of, I guess, mentors and guideposts along the way.
You know, John, that sounds a lot like what we do inside of our tribe.
Yeah, it is indeed. Yeah. Tell me more about your education there at that college.
Yeah, sure. So at Yale, I was a history major, which I feel helps me to look at the big picture when I take the bird's eye view and, you know, people's situation to help, you know, guide and mentor and coach people. So I was a history major, and I was at a great school, as I mentioned, that was around really, really smart people. I think the idea of being surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you was made clear for me when I was at Yale, because there were some incredibly smart people who I still am in touch with today and have relationships. You know, some are clients. So, you know, as time went on, I really didn't have a clear direction, a career, what my career was going to be. I was always jealous of my roommate. Greg McKenna wanted to be a transplant surgeon when he walked onto campus at Yale. And I did not have that clarity and vision. And you can guess what Greg McKenna is right now. He's a transplant surgeon down at Baylor Hospital in Fort Worth, Texas.
Awesome.
I didn't have that. So it was a journey. It's been a journey for me to figure out, you know, what's the best place for me? What's the best, you know, place for me to, you know, do what I'm called to do. I believe that I have a calling, and it's taken me time to really heed that calling.
You know, John, I hear you speaking about an issue that so many entrepreneurs have, and that is being able to constantly have clarity and be able to block out the distractions, because there's so many distractions. And we, you know, I like to say that we wear this backpack, and we are our own cheapest labor. So if I need to be the marketing person today, I'll reach in my backpack, and all of a sudden I'll make myself be the marketing person,
mm-hmm.
right? And so how have you dealt with that and incorporated your faith?
That's a great question. I hadn't thought of it. You know, I think that, you know, just... I think one of my core values you know, I used the Think to Perform website to identify my core values, and I've, you know, re-identified them as I've grown. But excellence is one of those things. So, you know, I've tried to associate myself with, you know, really good people at really good firms. And so I've had to, you know, do the job myself, make sure it gets done, but I also have to rely on other people to help, you know, give me guidance along the way and do some of the work. So it's been an exercise in trust. It's been an exercise in leading by example. I have to, you know, I feel I have to know what I'm doing if I'm going to teach someone else how to do it. So I've just, I don't know if that answers your question, but I feel that that's kind of, you know, how I faced that.
You know, I hear you really talking about to keep your clarity and actually find it. I've heard you say how important it was to have those mentors that you really developed at Mount Carmel. So are you still mm-hmm. involved with the school now?
I am. As a matter of fact, that's one of the places where I go out and I, you know, talk to people about financial education. It's one of the places where, you know, I spend a lot of time there, you know, mentoring kids in a, you know, small way, you know, talking to the coaches and the teachers, and the energy that's down there really helps me to, you know, really to tie back into the energy that I had when I was a young kid, you know, the really enthusiasm that I had about going to school, going to practice. So I am, and I'm going to be down there next Friday night for their home opener in football against St. Rita High School, which is a big rivalry. So, yes, that's I spent some time away from Mount Carmel, too. You know, sometimes you have to be away from a place and a group of people to really, you know, find out that you miss them and that they're a really important part of your life. So the last 4 years, I've been spending a lot of time at Mount Carmel.
Do you find that some of the students are lacking in financial education, getting ready to enter the business world?
I do. And, I also see that children, you know, young people these days, you know, these young men, and in particular, young men at Mount Carmel and young men and women at, you know, my daughter's high school, DePaul College Prep in Chicago, that they're starting to come into money earlier. They're finding ways and avenues to be business owners of their own. And, not to mention NIL, in the sports world, is putting money into people's laps who at an earlier age. So, I didn't come from people of means. My mother and father, my dad was a school teacher. My mother was a homemaker. And, my grandparents' story are immigrant stories. So I'm just, one generation removed from that experience. But I find that, yes, people are in need of, sound financial principles, being taught them, sometimes being taught them at home works really, really well. Other times, children don't listen to everything that their parents say. So for a parent to have those same values conveyed to their children from other people that they trust, like, teachers at those schools, I think are really, really important.
You know, John, you, as an entrepreneur, you're challenged like all other entrepreneurs, that there are so many roles that need to be fulfilled in your company, and there are so many distractions. And I want to share with Jerry that John is going to be one of our founding members of a tribe in Chicago.
Oh, wow, great.
And so we've already talked, and he's had some one-on-ones already with these people that are going to be in his life and the people that he is going to be in their life. And so, John, I want to ask you on the front side of that, because you've really not poured in a lot to that yet, but you're already starting to get hopefully some value out of that. So talk to our audience about, even before we've started your tribe meetings, what are you already getting from the organization?
Yeah, that I can say already, through the meeting that I had, I appreciate your time and Tony Madonia's time to sit down with me and really get that clarity around what do I need to leave behind and let go as I grow and continue to launch and relaunch my career, and who do I want to spend time with, and to have that intention around, who am I hanging around with? Who are the people that I want to be in front of? And you've helped me, the two of you, really, to identify that clearly. And I've been able to, let go of some of those things that I've been spending time at that weren't the most productive, as well as to lean into, the idea of, my best salespeople are my existing clients, because I've done some great work with people and they value the work that I've done. I care about them. They care about me. And, I've been able to, ask them, how can you help me grow my business? Because they see, that I'm intentional and I'm earnest in my trying to help folks.
You know, John, I want to kind of describe to people. So when we're inside of this tribe environment, we're gathering non-competitive entrepreneurs together, and they come together for once a month. And the reason why we have non-competitive members is so that you can really get vulnerable. And so I wanted to ask you, was it difficult for you to get vulnerable and to trust in the people that are going to be in your tribe? What was that like for you?
Well, for me, I've spent quite a bit of time. I would say a turning point for me was at age 33. And before that time, I could say I was not good at being vulnerable. I was distrustful of people. Maybe I was looking for things in the wrong places, but I was able to, I think through practice, I'm a few years older than I was then. I'm in my mid 50s. And so I've had practice at, in other parts of my life, of being vulnerable. I believe God has put people in our life that have our best interests at heart. The hard part is asking for help. But when I have started to ask for help, improve myself in the areas which have, been really challenging, and I continue to practice that and exercise that muscle, it was not difficult to open up to you and Tony, because, I met you through the Rotary, And Tony, it turns out, had a used to work with one of my older brothers, my brother Mark Ferjanik, who's a great accountant in his own right and retired. And so I had, when I was looking for the right things, you know, in and on the right path, I felt that God kind of put those people in my life to, you know, help take me to the next level.
You know, I'm just, I had to chuckle. I did to myself because totally random connection with John. Mm-hmm. We're sitting in the Chicago One Rotary meeting.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
With no plan. Yeah. And we mm-hmm. didn't have lunch. And I saw, wait a minute, Rotary is meeting and I'm a Rotarian. So we wind up going to lunch and John is at our table. And isn't it amazing that when we stop for just a minute and we allow God and the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, to take the opportunity to say, wait a minute, yeah, we're all fallen, but we're all, if we're trying to follow Jesus as his disciple, then we are called to this level of service. And if we'll just pay attention to that, the Holy Spirit will put things in our direct path. Mm-hmm. That if we just pay attention to that, that some amazing things can happen. So,
amen.
That was just pretty wild that it happened that day, wasn't it, John?
It was. It was just, and then I followed up with Tony and you know, followed up with you, and you guys followed up with me, and we felt that, you know, even though we have only known each other a short time, I feel that, you know, our intersection at that point was really divinely orchestrated because I want to scale my business. I want to help more people, and I got to, you know, master those skills that, you know, we're going to work on in the tribes, et cetera.
John, what would you tell somebody that's listening to the podcast today? What would you tell them if they are trying to carry all that weight themselves? How would you try to coach them to lean into a tribe, if you will, joining a godly council of men and women that are willing to share their lives and to help one another solve their problems? What would you tell them?
Well, I think first of all, what I had to do was just humble myself to the point where I admitted that I need help. You know, that I've been trying, you know, my whole life to make things happen, to do the right, you know, sometimes do the right thing, other times getting off the path, but getting back on the path. And I think that it takes a level of humility to say, I don't have all the answers, and then to allow God to work his magic, and then to continue to do the work, you know. So it's both a process of, you know, of, I guess, humbling myself and letting go, and then, you know, leaning in and doing the work that I'm supposed to do, because I have tremendous energy now. I feel more energy than I did when I was kind of wandering around trying to figure out where should I work and what should I be doing. Now that I have this, I'm on this right path, you know, I just have tremendous energy.
You know, John, you make me think about the phrase, on the other side of fear is freedom. And I think when we go back and we look into the way that we operate in our society as men, that we're always going to be strong, we've got to be intelligent, we got to provide, we got to serve, we got to do all this stuff. And then when we finally realize that it's okay not to have the answer, that we don't have it all, and we're not afraid of that. When earlier in our life, maybe we're trying to fake it till we make it, but there's an incredible level of comfort, I believe, when you realize to say, I don't have to have all those answers. And there are other people that can help me that have my best interest in mind. And when I can realize that and let those people become that godly counsel for me, it really creates a trusting mechanism that we can lean on to help us shape answers that we can put into our life and that we can implement.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Well, this has been awesome. I really appreciate your time today, John. Thank you so much. We're looking for, we might have to have John back after he's been a tribe member for a year and let him tell everybody
about his experience there.
Absolutely amazing. So, John, I want to tie back to Mount Carmel. So as you think about how you experience things at Mount Carmel, and how you experienced things at college, you now are part of a community that really isn't trying to teach or preach at you, but you now have got a community that's really trying to let your community bring that together. Are you helping the people at Mount Carmel? Are you part of that now, that network there, to help people there?
I am. Yep. I'm active, engaged in that community. And, you know, my hope, my goal is that everyone knows who I am so that they know that they can come to me and I can help them, you know, along their financial path.
Well, John, let's tie up this way. Number one, I want to thank you for your energy and efforts there at Mount Carmel and all of your other energies and efforts to help people that need education and assistance in a godly, wise way so that we can actually serve the kingdom to the best of our ability. Thank you so much for joining us today. Jerry, do you have anything to close us out?
No, I think this our listeners might want to know how they can get connected here in our area if they would like to join a tribe of their own.
Hey, we would love to have you reach out and connect with us. You can do that at corescore.net. Reach out, use the contact information on there. We'd be happy and excited to talk to you about that. If you'd like to ever talk to any of our guests that are on our podcast, you're welcome to contact us here. We'll share information as we are able to do that. We do have spaces available now for members of tribes. So just reach out and we'd have a no obligation conversation in order to see if you might be a good fit.
Sounds great. Appreciate our guest today and for sharing. And I'm sure that we'll come back to him when he has a chance to actually spend more time with the tribe, and we'll have a lot more to offer in that general area.
Thank you, Jerry. Remember, everybody, just because you're an entrepreneur does not mean that you have to do it by yourself. Thanks for joining us today.